Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Allianz, supporting all 32 counties through the Allianz Leagues.
A grain of rice is going to tip the scale. Just remember that, then.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on,
Mayo, you've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
We're missing what the show is. Then we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Morning, lads.
Dello.
How are you doing?
Dello.
That's a very interesting observation here on the 14th of June, straight away in studio. Belna Hinch, we're at it again, lads. It looks very obvious. Do you know? Do you know what I mean? Like, what is the story with the big shiner on the eye?
We just have a gladiator scar, Dello, from the infamous County Intermediate Hurling League in Tipperary the weekend. We were back at it with against the Moneygall boys, and this is one of those things. You're marking the lad that's 15 or 16 years younger than you, and you're trying to catch up to him, and you just don't get there in time. So look, an old battle scar from it, and I think we're kind of like Clare were started League One Corrigan Park. We're a work in progress, Belna Hinch. And to be honest, the most of the boys said the best thing about the match was. Was that in Moneygall, right beside Obama Plaza, so we all got a right feeling supermax. So you don't be long forgetting about a county league loss after a chicken fillet burger meal and a muffin and ice cream appeared in front of you.
Yeah, so, and
great to have it back, isn't it?
Is there any of the 8 pubs in Belna Hinch open outdoor?
No. There's no outdoor facilities as of yet. So look, I told you already, so we're saving the money to go down to Murphy Brown's for
That's your cocoa. And come here, while we're on it, like, you didn't get any too old, too slow, like, off any of the money guys.
No comments like that. I got back into the centre back position though. I was like Tom Brady. I just sit in the pocket and tell the few young lads around me to map their vein and cover the space. That's all I'm doing now, Dale. I'm happy to do it too.
So there's going to be no 2-4 to come into the end of it, like from centre back. You wouldn't know it, Joe. With the game has gone, are you operating attacking half back styles? Like, can you abandon ship and go forward?
If I had to score 2-4, we're going to be in serious trouble. We have to hope to score 2-4 now. Yeah, no, happy enough now to be there and pull the few strings there, Dale.
It's brilliant, and that's something like lads. The county leagues were back in hurling and Clare the weekend, and I know our own lads were over in Whitegate, which is probably one of the longest trips, and conceded the last 4 pints to lose by a pint. But
yeah,
I think a great crowd travelled over from Kilcastle. I know there's restrictions now, but in general, the pitch in Whitegate, you could be up on the bank outside the wire and looking in. But like that the sun buzz, we were just talking, Shane, before we started recording. Your mum and dad, like, a new lease of life, getting to the game.
I suppose my mother and father have 4 sons on the team, and they'd have 3 or 4 nephews as well, and my mother's brother is over the team, so we're a real kind of a family affair. But look, as I suppose I said to you beforehand, like, everybody was in kind of good form, mother, father, vaccine now, but geez, they were in great form after the match there at the weekend, and I'm sure TJ and Mark, I'm sure you've probably seen it as well, like, that even, you know, a few of the older crew, like, you know, the real stalwarts of the club, we haven't seen them in months, like, and they were out at the match, and it was like, you know, we went to Supermax after, as we said, like, but I mean, it was great to see them all out, and I tell you, they gave them all a massive lift, and they were all in great form after the match. And it's unreal, that's what it means, I suppose, where we might give out about it, but Jesus, just to see all the older crew from all the clubs around the country, I'm sure, and even driving to the match there, listening to the match on the radio, meeting cars coming against you, seeing people outside the pubs, and seeing the few people at the match. Jesus, I tell you, I think everyone's in better form this week because of the lads, anyway, you know.
No doubt about it. And Mark, I saw one quick headline in the Examiner this morning that the Glen get revenge on Black Rock.
And I
always hate that whole thing when it's the first round of the league. The previous year's county final is about 400 times more important. But obviously, a big, although Cork, Clane and everything, and teams have to play without their county stars, but like obviously county league back up and running in Cork as well.
Yeah, there was a good few games played over the weekend now, and there was a good few people at the games and stuff like that, and people were being sensible on the banks and stuff like that, like they were keeping separated and stuff like that. Now, I know there was talks of face masks and stuff like that, like, but the chairman in the club was the only person I saw wearing a face mask. I suppose he has to be seen to be doing the right thing. So, do you know yourself? But I saw fellas from the other clubs locally. We're playing Father O'Neill's in one of the games in our championship, and they'd only beat 3 or 4 miles down the road. So I saw a couple of their lefts. We're up watching the match as well. So that'll tell you that their fellas are busting to get out for a game. And then, I suppose, we played Saturday night against Douglas, and we'd good, I suppose, for about 40, 45 minutes, and we'd a fella got a red card, and kind of uncharacteristically, the same fella who never got a red card in his life, but midlife crisis, he's building a house at the moment, and getting married as well, I say.
He wants out.
Obvious signs under the red card.
Yeah, and come here, Michael, you're a young lad now, has there been any games yet, or?
Well, that, do you know what, Dale? I'm actually exhausted because Saturday morning, the first Hull of matches, 10 o'clock, we played against Tracton. So we'd under 8s, under 9s, and under 10s in the field, followed by an under 14 Camogie match played after. So there was massive crowds. And being the day that it was, we were exhausted. And of course, we're not used to the sun. This master came home and he was roasted around the neck now and the arms and stuff like that. Then we'd go and turn a bit of hay in the afternoon. And then Sunday, headed off to play under 8 soccer outside in Kilworth. Another 2 hours out in the sunshine.
So, do you win the soccer?
Won the hurling and won the soccer. And then to treat this mafia, we went to see Peter Rabbit in the cinema in the afternoon on Sunday. And like I said to Jackie, like we all went to 5 of us. I said, we must be the only crowd that under the beach today because there was only 2 families in the whole cinema. But they were mad anxious to get to see Peter Rabbit, so we sat down, enjoyed it, had a couple of cones in on the way home. So, but I was exhausted from the sun, just wouldn't be used to it, like. But matches are coming out ticking fast.
Oh, 100%, yeah. And like, I think with a bit of easing and restrictions, I know we've seen a lot about stuff on Sky News and everything else. But it's just fantastic. I think the underage for me as well is the big thing. And I'm wondering there, the underage academy in South Limerick, is that back playing games and stuff, TJ?
It is, Dillo, and I'm involved with under-15s, and I'm going to touch on an old job of yours. I was, believe it or not, back to where it all started yesterday. My own young fella was at a county under-14 trial. Oh. So Brownie is looking after the show there. We were in St. Enda's yesterday. He had a heap of young fellas from the south and the east, running a good ship. Evan Loftus, manager under-14. So back there yesterday, I was there for 2 hours yesterday morning in the Searing East. But brilliant. 60-plus young fellas there, all well able to hurl. So, yeah. The academy in Limerick is rocking and rolling. But to go to Guy's plan, I don't know, one of you kicked me off there. But one of the things I got on Saturday, Dale, was WhatsApp from a fellow down the road and the chance of a ticket for the match tonight. We were playing Glenroe, and this 100-people rule was apparently in place right now. To a lot of clubs up and down the country, there'd be a bit of leeway, right? But anybody that knows the great Pat Doyle, we had Pat Doyle on the gate in Guy's plan.
I do.
So getting those extra few people in there, though. But yeah, brilliant weekend.
Had he the hanky on the head?
He did. He did have the weather. It was the weather for it. But no, good start. And you could clearly see there was a spring in the club hurler step. Brilliant weekend for us. And everyone mad for Road. And it probably got me talking there. Remember Brian Hogan mentioned there before about that if you uniform that up and down all the counties, now it might be difficult with different number of clubs and different places, but to have every county playing all county league matches on the same night, it's a good idea. There's something in there for the GAA to look at in time, but definitely. And I know that the lads at home, I think they have, is it 6 Saturday nights in a row now? I think they have a hurling league game. And that's just brilliant. Like if you're a club hurler, to have 6 games coming, all planned, no need for those challenge games. I just think it's the way forward.
And every second, like with obviously the football and Clare and Loughlin, like you know, at least you know, like you're the hurling game this weekend, you're going to have a county league game again, you know, Saturday night week, football next weekend, and Loughlin will be playing both. So it's real good time. And like the weather as well, as you know, just, you know, you've no excuses. When if the COVID was a tough factor on you, all right, I presume you'd have a few COVID lads. With the COVID half done, Shane, would you?
Yeah, we've a few lads who enjoyed lockdown, yeah.
Without like naming that, names, though.
I know, like, I mean, there was a lot of dirty diesel, I think, in the tanks for a lot of club lads this weekend, because no matter how many 5Ks or 10Ks you had done, or you said you'd done anyway, like, you just can't beat match fitness lads. And you just, like, it's so different, you know. We'd have young lads there to be running 5Ks, which is 17 or 18 minutes, something crazy. Like, you'd hardly even drive it yourself.
Yeah, we were doing the water breaks.
I'm off for the water breaks. If you get more, I take them. But, oh, jeez, yeah. I mean, like, you can't talk about the match fitness thing. You know, running up the field, a lad hitting you a dunt, and trying to get back into position, tearing around the place. You know, and Jamie, look, I think there was a lot of dirty diesel in the tanks, as I said this weekend. But I think as no more so the inter-county team, lads. Only that it's not getting the same coverage. There was loads of mistakes made on both sides, which are, you'll find now maybe 4 or 5 weeks' time, you'll see a really good standard, especially with the top clubs, like, you know, and with it, like, hasn't the ground changed something in real life in the last 2 weeks, Rock, even, training there? This is rock hard, you know, lads who were stalwarts for the six studs, no matter what the weather was. I'd say they even nearly had to win Sports Direct over the weekend and buy a cheap old pair of Maldives or something.
The club pitches are in some order, Dillo. When you drive the road, you see the green pitch. Like, I know, speaking from our own place at home, and to give Jerry Keogh a plug, he's doing some job. But
Jerry is covered as well now, lads.
It makes a big difference, because as you see, at the club games weekend, facilities top of the range, ball flying, smell of fresh grass, as Shane said there, you'll be mad for Roger.
That's a fact.
And Shane, just a quickie there, but we won't talk about it too much. But you know the way all the talk about too many scores, Kelly getting 118, TJ, yeah, Ryan getting 21. No, not you.
In a season,
they are getting, you know, whatever, 21 points. Like, is the slitter, Shane, because the few pucks me and the two boys now hit with the slitter. Do you see a difference in your time? Like, obviously, you're coming near the twilight of the career. But do you know there's a big difference?
I probably don't, like, myself. Like, I suppose if you go back to the, like, when was the last big, real big controversy? I suppose maybe it was the middle of the noughties, was it, lads, in 2003, when the ball was bouncing over lads' heads. Oh, yeah. Like, I just think you have so many different types, different companies making the slitters now, that they are different. Like, the O'Neill slitter, lads, is totally different to, like, you know, on Kelly, it's totally different to, you know, all the other slitters are there with the smaller rim. And, like, you know yourselves, like, the balls with the smaller rim, you'd probably get a better strike in them. But I find that they would actually deviate a bit more if there was a breeze or something like that. The ones with the smaller rims, you don't really know where you want to get, what you want to get out of them. Like. Whereas with the O'Neill's ones, while there's a bigger rim, if you strike through the ball and if you catch the ball nice, it won't really deviate too much. I would always look at Kelly, like, you know, taking the freeze, that he'd always say, regardless of the weather, like, if he got a clean strike on it, it wouldn't move left or right too much. And I think you get that from kind of the slitters with the bigger rims. But I think the slitters, a lot of ones nowadays, the smaller rims, the ball does move a bit more with the wind. But I suppose, like, you know, let's call a spade a spade. Are lads striking it more now? Better. They are, like, but for me, a lot of that comes down to the hurleys, lads. I mean, I got a few hurleys there the other day. I'm kind of gone to the stage of my life where now I order them off the internet, and whatever comes, and I put no grip on it, and we'll hurl away with it. But I mean, your boss now, your standard boss now, lads, is, would I be wrong in saying, to be nearly like a goalkeeper's boss for ye in your heydays. And I think that's a factor too. Like, I mean, the hurleys are much better quality now, because you've more lads making them, and also they're churning them out more because the facilities they have. The stuff they have to make the hurleys. So, do I see much of a change of flitter? I probably don't, Taylor, to be honest. But I do see a change in the hurleys. And I think the hurleys nowadays, their boss is bigger. You have a better strike, a better chance of hitting that sweet spot. Then what you would, like, you know, I even see, you know, some of the hurleys, like the lads there used in the mid-90s, and you'd be looking at the boss going, "Jeez, lads, how did you, I mean, fair play to you, lads. How did you control the ball at all? You must have had some
punch." We just had more skill. Yeah, that's What size hurley do you use now, Shane? Because that's the other thing. Smaller.
Yeah.
Like, an awful lot of our team used 36s. I use a 35. I haven't a few pucks now. I have a 34. But fellas have come down the sizes, haven't they?
Yeah, I tell you, it's a guess now, because I used a 34 for a long time, and then we were kind of had a bit of success, and we were getting to meet Kilkenny boys in the finals all the time. And, you know, we're looking at the throw-in, and you'd be looking down at, you know, a size 36, 37 hurley. Like, I remember throwing there for one of the All-Irelands, and Finlay was beside me, and I looked down, Les, and he had a hurley now. And he'd tell you this himself, you wouldn't use it to bait cattle. It was the worst-looking yoke I ever seen in my life. But he just had it for the throw-in, and... But I was looking at their hurleys like size 36, 37. I was like, if I'm going to have any chance to try and compete with a Michael Finlay here, I need to go up an inch. So I actually went up to a 35. And I've been a 35 now for the last 10 years. But I know what you're saying, and I listened to you even last
year. That's brilliant, there, like.
You know, that the lads going down. I see Bubbles there now, and even see, like Cahill Barrett. You know, I think he mentioned a few of the Galway guys. They're size 32, 33. And is it just that they're so skillful now, the power they have as well? They probably don't need that bigger hurley. I would need the bigger hurley maybe to get the longer strike, but them lads are so powerful. They have the smaller hurley. And they also have the bigger boss too, a lot of them, like, so... Yeah, I actually went the other way,
Dela. So I went
against the
track.
I actually went up and I had the
other. I'm actually consoled to hear that somebody went up in size, Matt. Huh?
I think Clarkie was a 27, Dela.
Clarkie, like, to be up over his waist.
Yeah.
Up to his belly button, Clarkie, like.
But
definitely when we were young, we all used longer hurleys. Like, I must say, as I got older in life, the hurleys got lighter and definitely got shorter. I finished up with a 35, having started with a 37. But I think a lot of the cornerbacks now in the modern game, their job is really being up alongside their man and probably holding him with one hand and going man to man and just touching the ball away, like, you know. And there's no such thing as long strike from the full back line now. You don't have to hit it 100 yards out of the back line. Hit it 30 yards to the fill in front of you. And if you hit it long clearance and it gets intercepted or you don't win it on the other side, the video analyst on Tuesday night will be pointing you out and say, what do you hit it long for? You're not supposed to be hitting it long. So I don't think there's a requirement for the cornerback certainly to have a big hurley these days.
Yeah, TJ, the old statement that we would have grown up with and probably used ourselves in our coaching, like, that wouldn't apply with what Shane is saying about the Bubbles and the Cahill Barretts. Shorten it up is gone, like, isn't it? You can't be shortening up at 32 inch, like.
No, you can't. The only thing I will say, Dello, is I think we're in danger of taking technique and actual skill for granted. Like, what Joe is doing there with sidelines and, let's say, Ozzy and them, like, right? Like, that's just unbelievable stuff. And to go back to what I was saying even yesterday about the under-14 county trials, right? Every club around the country now, the coaching is better. The techniques are better. The striking left and right are better because they're all being taught better from day one. And the quality of club action right throughout the grades is way better. So we're probably blaming the ball. Like, I think Dowling had a message there I saw on social media during the week about Shawnee McMahon, Dello, in the 90s. Like, he was striking frees from his own 65, not a bother. That didn't seem to bother. Because, and like, if anybody ever remembers Shawnee taking frees, I don't think Shawnee ever forced a free. It was just pure natural technique that he got the swing followed through and he got the distance every single time. So we're probably in danger of taking the high skill levels for granted. Like, literally now, in the upcoming championship, if a free taker misses more than one free in a game, well, then we're probably questioning, should he be taking the frees? That's the level we're down to now at inter-county level.
Yeah, that is like I use it too much myself as a phrase, like, you know, if I was doing a co-commentary draft, you know, that I, for me now, and I don't mean to be critical, he's one of the best players in the country, but for me, Lee Chin is not a dead-eye dick, like, in terms of Kenning, a Reid, a Hoggy, a Jason Ford, a Tony Kelly now, a Gillan, I've left out a couple of brilliant ones, even a fella like Evan Nyland, the way he was had to step up when Joe wasn't there. And for me, Lee Chin is not just, and again, I watched him on Saturday and he just missed a couple that you're saying that could really hurt you later on the year, but they haven't really experimented with anyone else hitting them. So it's maybe too critical, but that's the way it's gone, TJ.
That's what I'm saying. It's just, and it's a Joe Kenning steps up to a sideline now, somewhere close to the 65-yard line, your mind automatically tells you this is on. Whereas before, go back 15, 20 years ago, you'd say, like, sure, that was just not even thought about, right? And Ozzy is the same. And like most inter-county teams have a really, really good line ball taker. I've seen Mark Coleman take him there now. And I think Ronan Maher has taken sideline balls in the cornerback position. And it's just the very same as hitting a free nearly.
Yeah, so look, great. Nice plug there for Ron Kelly as well. Vitally important to be one of the best free takers ever and go wade in and design a ball that will sell all over the world that suited your free taking style. I think we'd have to hand it to the great Mulnahan man, one of our own as well. Sound man, by dead on fella. Yeah, I know. Look at what a gas man, you know. And yeah, it's great. Look, lads, it's fantastic. Just for all the volunteers out there and the people who are, you know, doing the COVID checks, doing the, you know, all that work that goes on in the background, making sure everything is 100% well done, like, and just down to you as well, Laughlin, and the organisation guys in the clubs who probably don't get the limelight or maybe the big highs and lows of being the team manager, but are there and are reliable and are really the reason we're back really on schedule as well. And that, so as the league is over, I'm thinking of shaving myself shortly because the championship is on the horizon. But look, we good round of games again yesterday, lads, and we have league winners, but there is a good chance we might have a league final as well. We can talk about that, but good weekend again, I suppose. We start on Lee side, I suppose. Beautiful day down there, Mark. I heard it was absolutely 26 or 7 degrees down pitch side. I even heard someone saying that Mark Coleman commented, I think, to some reporter afterwards, that it was one of the hottest days he ever heard, like, you know, and that will tell you the pace now and the fitness levels. And then you get a shock, of course, because we didn't get a day really like yesterday yet in the year. We hadn't really a day like that up here now, I have to say. It was dull, it was warm, but funny, I'll want to finish up for Cork. I suppose we're going really well for a lot of the game, Mark. But then Galway, who let's face it, have become a bit of a juggernaut now, following on from last year in this league. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, funny one going into 2 or 3 weeks.
I suppose, look, number one, yeah, it was a scorching day, absolutely unreal. And we're living here on the back road from McGeely to Killa, and it's a kind of a secondary road to the beach in Yard or Pillmore. So from 10:30 yesterday morning till 1 o'clock, there was a constant flow of cars all going towards the beach, which is great, you know, great to see it. But the pitch was fantastic as well in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. And just to reiterate the work that has been done, it absolutely is brilliant now. And you saw that with Hoggy for the first couple of balls that went in yesterday, running out with one hand and flicking them into his hand. But I suppose in the overall context of the game itself, Anthony, we hurled well for the first half and we were 2 goals up at half time and Hoggy scored a free after half time to put a 7 up. But from then on, there was constant slippage, I suppose. And this was a disappointing thing, is that there was no one really stood up and realised that the game was starting to drift away from us. And, you know, it was a slow death, I suppose. You could see it crumpling in front of you, and you couldn't do anything to stem it. You know, the question is really, like, was it down to changes that were made? Were the players tired? Were they overloaded during the week? This is the big buzzword now in terms of their training load. I don't really think so. I think a bit of it has got to do with injuries. Like, Hannity came off after kind of 45, 50 minutes. And even his presence, and he was only, I suppose, he had a fair game is what I would say. He wasn't his brilliant self. But I think it was more get game time into him because he'd missed the last 2 league games. But he's a vital cog in the Cork senior hurling panel. And he brings a real physical edge to the forward line. And I thought I was missing in the last 20 minutes of the game.
But Matt, I know we know the way it panned out yesterday. Obviously, Galway is very strong.
Yeah.
Just talk to you, TJ, about that in a sec. But what are the positives and the negatives from the campaign, would you say? And I don't mean negatives, but question marks are still there. Okay. What's positives like? Some amount of goals.
We came out of the traps in the first match against Waterford, right? Having, we'd say, a new panel of players, I would say, because there were 5 or 6 lads were probably left go off the panel at the start of the year. So we got off on the front foot, right, against a very experienced Waterford team, and we were well in control and got a lot of goals in particular, right? That was really good. Went on to the Tip game. Probably a bit disappointed. We should have got over the line against Tip, particularly when we were 2 points up late in the game. But a couple of the mistakes that happened late in the game to give away the game, the draw, started to mitigate, I thought, at that stage. And I think from being blinding in the first couple of games, we've now gone back into our shell again. Or maybe the opposition have copped on to what Cork are doing. They're playing this slow, short puck out, laying it from a full back line to the half back line. And unless then the shot is on into the forward line, they're not giving it. And if you give, like when we played, it was always get rid of the ball as fast as possible. There's no man going to run faster than the ball. Get it into the inside line. And I thought yesterday when we got it into the inside line, Patrick Horgan looked extremely dangerous and Jack O'Connor looked extremely dangerous. So, like, momentum has shifted, Anthony, from the first round of the league to the last round of the game, or sort of last round of the league, in comparison to where Clare are coming from right now. Poor start and had a magnificent finish. So now there's a lot of doubt and a lot of question marks. That is the biggest problem that Cork have at the moment. I suppose the second thing is, have they got a settled team? They don't. I could probably pick the 15 for you now, but could I tell
That's
you where they're going to be
of a
playing?
Team.
No, I could pick the 15 that'll be playing, but I couldn't tell you what position they'll be in. You know, because they're going to be all over the place. Like, Shane Kingston has been tried full forward, corner forward, centre forward, wing forward. I still don't know where he's going to be playing. The only thing I can tell you is that Hoggy will be full forward. That's about it. Like, yeah. I think so. We've won up to two players. Jack O'Connor will start, I would say, in the championship. I'd be shocked if he doesn't. And I think John Mellerick has a real good chance of playing against Limerick as well, I would say, in the first round. They're the two things I think that stick out to me. But, like, I'd say there's a lot of concern, I would say, particularly with the puck out now. That is the biggest concern I think that Cork will have. And whether 3 weeks is enough to get that right, that's very debatable, I'd say.
Yeah, Shane, would you think they're kind of hamstrung, if you like, with the puck outs, that probably don't want to have ball winning half forwards, you know?
I think maybe everyone's getting a bit frustrated from a hurling point of view what's going on in Turles that night. But I mean, if it's going to work for them and it's going to break down teams, you play to your strengths, and Cork's strength is their hurling, like, you know, and then their ability to move the ball through the line. So if it works for them, like I know, even listening to you talk last week, Les, about the Limerick Cork match, was absolutely, it was a joke, like, even, you know, even to be watching it, to be at it, is a waste of everyone's time, really. But so that's not going to happen again, obviously. But I'd say if it is working for him, good. I liked what your goalkeeper, I think, Mark, is really comfortable in the goals. He has a lot of experience. He learned a lot while he was the goalkeeper in waiting. I like that puck out you do where you suck everyone to one side and you hit a guy in space. And Collins is really good at, you know, bouncing it just in front of the guy. My question, Mark, is, like, I think you've been very good up front. I went through your goals there for the last few years in the league. I don't know what we talked about it, but 2019, you scored 4 goals. 2020, you scored 11 goals. This year, you scored 18 goals. So I think that's a massive plus for you, that you have guys now to take on people and go for these goals. My biggest worry for you, Mark, I suppose, not worry maybe or anything, but I just don't know who your number three is. And I feel it's a big thing for you. I think two of your main guys are hurting very well at the moment in back four. It's given. Oh, I know. You might know who your number three is either. But
I don't think we do.
Would Robert Downey be a shout to put in?
Shane, I'll be straight with you, right? He played the first round. He played the first three league games last year at fullback, and he played extremely well. Owen Cadigan came back in for a game and Downey was then moved wing back, and then he kind of stayed in that position because Owen Cadigan had played well full back. Damien Cahalan has played a good few of the games at full back already this year. Owen Cadigan has come back in again this year and played full back yesterday. So again, as I'm going to reiterate it, I kind of know what the players are going to be, but we just don't know where they're going to be. And you're right. And before the last 2 years, the full back position was a problem, so they do need to settle on a fullback and let the fullback, you know, I suppose, let him there really more than anything. And I would have thought Robert Downey was the future because he's only 22 years of age. Like, the concern for me yesterday was that Joseph Cooney played a good bit of full forward and he looked like he had a lot of pace. And not to be disparaging, Joe Cooney hasn't got blinding pace like a Concannon or a Conor Whelan. So, and like, Owen Cadigan didn't, he's a good player, but he didn't hurl a whole pile of ball yesterday, like, you know? Is that Teej?
Well, he's not slow either. Yeah, I'd probably go along with what you're saying, Shane, about the defence with regard to Cork. I actually don't know where I am with Cork right now. I think there's a touch of Lennigan's ball, definitely, about their defence, no doubt about it. The positives are, they did score 18 goals, which is by far the most. Only two teams have hit double figures in the goals, that is Galway and Cork. One of the other things I will say, Dillo, about yesterday is they probably played the best team in the country yesterday. Like, Galway, to me,
I was going to, yeah, I was going to ask you, Mark, we trust that you'll find out who'll be full back for 2 weeks' time, a week out from the Limerick game, all that. TJ, they made a serious, serious team, a real team that's on the up and up, isn't it?
Like, absolutely. And they're like a bit like a steam engine at the moment. The last couple of games, they might have been a little bit slow to get going, but by God, when they get going, they have an unbelievable, I suppose, an array of attackers. Like, the scores can come from, like, so many different players. They have a really, really strong squad. And you'd probably have to say that maybe last night, nearly of all the managers, would Shane O'Neill be the happiest of them all to say, I have everything that I want. Like, all my players, whether it is getting the best out of David Burke and Joe Canning now, given the age profile those guys are at, given the young fellas that have come in. As you said there about Evan Nyland, even as a replacement free taker, to me, he's got an awful lot of boxes ticked, as I said, even with Dye Burke or McInerney. And, like, they gifted Cork a goal just before half-time. And, like, that swing of six down to six up, that's a big swing in a game.
Yeah. It's a big turnaround. Yeah, they have. Like, yeah, you could say every one of the subs, especially in an attacking sense. I know Darren Morrissey went off injured. But in an attacking sense, if they want to bring on five in the championship, they're going to be five serious impact men. Where an awful lot of counties, I wouldn't say, if from a clear point of view, we'd be able to say that. We'd like to think, and the subs did well for Clare on Saturday, but would we be able to bring on the absolute quality that they're going to? Because we're seeing an awful lot of fellas have played three games and four games, and Joe has even tug out there yesterday, so we don't know what their attack will be like when they meet the winners of Dublin and Antrim. So there wouldn't be a bench there.
He's mixed that wing forward position nicely too with Adrian Toohey and potentially a Sean Loftus in there at some stage, where depending on the opposition and that middle third, what it's going to be like. So if he needs to play with four shooters and two workhorses or six shooters, depending on the opposition, he seems to have got that balance pretty much right as well.
Yeah. Tip were flat, Shane. I watched it all. They started well. Started looking and it looked like a long ball up to Shamey was the and feed off it, and it did. And he did get his goal in the second half, but you couldn't say he was that influential. But like they were blitzed by the pace of Waterford for me. Just look at it now. Look, you don't know where the heads are, obviously, because Liam is probably one eye on maybe Waterford, BK or whatever, and we might have to face him again. So he's looking at options and everything, and they've done well in the league overall. Tip were very consistent. But just, would you worry a bit, from a Waterford point of view as well, in the overall, they looked, even with Ozzy gone off, Prunty gone off, Shane Fives picked up a knock. Like, they still, I mean, I think the return of Shane Bennett to go in there with Hutchinson and Stephen, like, is giving a savage dynamics that forward line, pace-wise.
I think what nobody wanted yesterday, in my opinion, Dale, was, and especially a Tip kind of team, because we just maybe don't have the pace all over the field. You know, that's to be totally honest, and Tip lads know that. Like, you know, you didn't want to play on a really hot day against a really fast team. And Tip played on a really hot day yesterday against a really fast team. And I'll be honest, and I'd say the Tip lads even understand this, 229 to 321, 5 points in it, I think. Tip are lucky, you know, we didn't get hit by double figures yesterday, because if anyone that watched it, like you do, I know you watched the highlights, but if you watched it on the GA or whatever, Waterford blitzed us, like, you know, they really did. And, you know, whatever it is about Waterford, after the water breaks, they seem to come good. Like, they just tore into Tip. Like, and I mean, at halftime was 213 to 212, and we were hanging in there. And I think that's one of the big things you can take away from it, Dale, is that Tip have loads of experience on the field, in that they have so much experience that they're not panicking, and they hung into a game there yesterday and tipped away at a few points and a few scores because of the experience they have in the field. But I suppose the worrying thing for it is, like, say, after half-time, when I'd say the boys were a bit gassed now and everything, and Waterford probably have the strongest panel I think they've had in. I think they've been a stronger panel last year. Why are they stronger than last year? Because they're way more experienced. And they now know Liam Cahill, and they know Mikey Beavins, and they know what's expected, and they have a great culture in there. And they know that if I'm not starting, I will be a finisher. And I'm sure that language has been used in a lot of the top teams. We've heard Jim Gavin use it, Dublin footballers. There's no subs anymore, like, really. It's starters and finishers. And even taking in the club there, like, yesterday, you're allowed to bring on seven subs, like, you know. So you can have 24 lads going, 22 for one to play, like. So, like, that's for going back to the water, like, in the come out after the halftime, and they outscored Tip 8 points to 3. Could have been more, like, you know, could have been more. And the worrying thing for Tip, I suppose, is the Bonner, looking at yesterday, lads, the Bonner thing is maybe more of a factor now. Why is the Bonner thing more of a factor? We know Niall O'Mara, Bill, as you call him, you know, he appendicitis there during the week and just came on all of a sudden, like, and we didn't seem to have that real lad who's going to work really, really hard in the half forward line yesterday. So that's something that I'd say that Sheely and the lads are going to look at. That look, when if we do face Watford or Clare again, you know, both similar type teams and the way they move the ball and the speed that both teams have, we're going to need someone to try and hold it up for a second up there and let the lads at the back stay. I think at the back we're not too bad. You know, I think if we had Barrett, Cody, Barry Heffernan, Shane McKendy, Brendan Rona, that would be my six championship backs. That's fairly solid. Yeah. I just think who are we going to put in to do the Bonner job in the half forward line? That's something that they'll definitely think about over the next few weeks.
And do you think, like Mark said, like he probably couldn't name the 15, but position-wise, do you think Liam has a fair handle on his 15? I mean, his third year, obviously, all Ireland in the bag in this stretch. Never mind the last one. Dan McCormack, Noel, you know, who else would be in that juncture there? Shamey obviously got a run out, but look at John McGrath goes inside.
Jason Ford.
Ford. You know, he seems to be coming back. Like I think, like Mark was saying there, I think Liam knows his top 20, I think. And what way is he going to line them out there? Like, as I said, the six backs, I think we'll be close enough to those six backs. I think that won't be much of a secret, really, or anything. I think we don't know who our midfield is. Is it Alan Flynn? Is it Mikey Breen? Will Dan McConnell go back there? Are you losing Dan McConnell from a half-hour line work rate? I think he'll know, like, you know, three or four parties. Shane is right, he played. Jay won't play. If Bubbles was right, Noel is flying at the moment. Like last year, killed Noel. Why did he kill Noel? Noel played football and hurling a lot more week in, week out for about 14 or 15 weeks before he played club championship. So he's really fresh this year and joining his hurling. His brother John is coming into good form. He was really good with him on yesterday. So, you know, forwards, we have great talent up there. Like, we just need someone to really lead the way in the hooks, blocks, turnovers, so the rest of them can go on hurlings. I suppose that's the way it is at the moment.
But I'd say a solid league, like, as well. Like, Mark, the report, I was delighted, Mark, on Saturday. Obviously, all Clare people were delighted with the lads and the great result. And as you said, real momentum beginning to build. But then I sat down and watched Waterford and Tip live and watched the third Cork Galway. Waterford, serious options, like, in there, like,
yeah,
you know, Liam Lee has to be in a nice place in his head. I know a couple of injuries are a worry, but there's a lot of options.
That's a major concern for him right now, Anthony, is that basically Prunty and Austin Gleeson, your 3 and 6 more than likely in championship, both got injured, and you've only a fortnight now, whereas most of the other teams have got 3 weeks in the first round. And the last thing you want is two of your star players sitting on the sideline or in the physio room and fellas wondering, are they going to be back or are they not going to be back? So that is a concern going into your game. But then at the same time, you lost David McInerney as well, who has only played one match in the league. Actually, 30 minutes really is all he's played. So he's a bit of a loss. But, you know, I would say that game now is taking on a fierce edge altogether because both teams are coming into it with massive momentum. The other thing I would say is that Waterford have bounced back from the game in Salt Hill the week previous where they hurled fierce well in the first half and then Galway got a hold of them and blew them away in the second half. But that was a massive result yesterday because Tipperary were going very well. But I've made this point to you that Walsh Park is a graveyard. And I mean, whatever it is about it, that field suits Waterford. And if you go back a couple of years ago where the round robin games, they weren't able to stage matches and they had to play all their games away from home. Like, if you were going down to play in Welsh Park, you'd want to be well tuned in. You'd want to be at 100%. So I think they have momentum. They won the All-Ireland final as well last year as well. And probably people aren't putting them up there as high maybe in the ranking as what they should be. But I feel, and if you go back to remember when said the likes of Dion Kelly's, the Paul Flynn's, the Dan Shanahan's, there's a bit of a flair about them now. They have flair players. I mean, Jamie Barron and Ozzy Gleeson, Stephen Bennett, Shane Bennett, they have a lot of flair about them. A bit of a throwback to, say, a decade ago. And your game against them, Anthony, is going to be a cracker now all of a sudden.
Yeah, you just have concerns about our defence, I think. We'll be okay, the middle up. We're fairly settled now with Shanahan, Rogers, Shane O'Donnell playing off and probably, you know, Kelly Galvin midfield. I think we'd be okay. But just, I thought Desi Hutchinson as well yesterday, lads. Jeez.
First
finish, like. And I, you have to say, Jack Prendergast, lads, is really developing into, you know, he was learning his trade last couple of years. Would have learned a whole pile in the Winter All-Ireland of last year. Jeez, I thought he had a powerful game. It looks like Ira Daly, they're settling on for six. You say you could have a midfield of Ozzie and Jamie Barron. Like, there's mouth-watering contest there. Yeah, that's going to be massive. We look at it a little bit later on who we fancy. TJ Limerick, question marks, I'd say. But yes, you know, we're powerful last week against Limerick. We did say that, or against Cork, that Cork didn't show. And then you had the Westmeath game and sluggish for a long time. I know the scoreline looks okay at the end, but just a bit of a league. But of course, you have the huge banks of confidence built up over the last three seasons. You know, with all the trophies that have been landed and the trust Kylie has in knowing his best 20, I think, you know, you're still in the whip hand, I think, is Witchy going into the championship.
Yeah, I would agree what you're saying, Dale. Overall, I suppose the factors that we don't know is what sort of approach the lads had during the week. Like, there were 4 weeks open championship. Did they kind of use that training block to kind of get out of the way? With all due respect to Westmeath, and in fairness to them, they hurled well and stayed in the game for as long as they could. I think John Kiely would have been very happy after the Cork game the last day that he knew the guys were coming back to where he wanted them to be. The fitness levels definitely seem to be improving. But I would go back to what I said at the start. Overall league, you'd say fair. So-so. They finished with 5 points, more or less level with Cork at 5 points as well. But I would say, yeah, the bigger targets lie ahead. Just another point that you were making there. I think most teams, or maybe most outsiders looking on, we're trying to fix the stars and the forward lines and say who would be playing, right? But just to look at the 12 teams yesterday, Dale, in Division 1, right? So if I start with Limerick, 326, Tip 321, Galway 325.
Keep us up all night, lads.
Waterford 229, Cork 223, Clare 420, Kilkenny 125, Dublin 118, Wexford 25 points, Leash 122, Antrim 223. So the problem isn't scoring for any team. Like, there's going to be an awful lot of managers out there trying to fix the stars. But the real issue is they have to fix the moon, which is the collective defence. And what Shane was on about there is maybe that middle third where you need to get that working team of the hooks, blocks and tackles. And I don't think, let's say for a cornerback or maybe picking out a fullback, whatever, that's maybe struggling. I think it's the quality of ball into them. Like, how could you mark someone like Desi Hutchinson in a one-on-one scenario at the moment with a good ball into him? I certainly wouldn't like it. So I think it's the collective defence, or that piece of everybody without the ball, that total defence. That's what's really going to be questioned, I suppose, between now and whenever teams play championship. And what I'd also ask you guys is, did you think, like, I thought this was a phony war, right, for the five league games, right, for all teams. I did think, I know the physical players in shape and there was a couple of tackles here, there, but I thought overall the intensity was 1 to 2 bars down. And I think we're going to see that different starting in 2 weeks' time.
I'd say you're probably not too far wrong there, TJ. A bit like the referees in the course of the season, I think from the first round we played of the league to maybe the latter rounds, the players have improved, the speed of the game has improved, the intensity has improved. And I say it'll ramp up again in the next 2 or 3 weeks, definitely, because players know the championship is coming. And I'd say Waterford and Clare now, I'd say the next 10 days, you know, probably the next 3 training sessions in particular will be real speed, will be really hopping off the ground stuff. And then probably the Tuesday before the championship starts to wind it down and just make sure that they have enough in the tank that to bring it to the boil. But in the overall context, I don't like the Cork Limerick game is probably the only one that really was the only poor game that was, and I think Cork had a lot of injuries as well, which forced them into a position where they didn't show their hand at all. Like, but I think in general the last couple of games have been really hard fought now.
Yeah, I just think like that we just saw you. I think you had to be one eye ahead all the time. Whereas while you always experimented in the league and used it to blood players and that, like you had your league semi-finals, your league final, and it was put to bed. and then you moved on to the championship, maybe even back to your club for a couple of games and instances. And we just didn't have that luxury this time. And I think that was always going to lead maybe to a bit of shadow boxing, a bit of days were on the pull and days were really going at it. And I think in that sense, some very good stuff. I mean, just look at the other division again. Your old mucker, Shane, Darren Gleeson, great league. Like 5 points in that division. It's a fantastic score like for him, isn't it?
Absolutely unbelievable, Ed. Like, and if you said to Darren or said to any Antrim Hurling person that you don't really have to go for the last match against Leash, jeez, they would have taken the hand off you, you know. I mean, you could actually, like, they actually, Antrim could afford to rest people yesterday against Leash because they were safe. Like, and I mean, that's just a testament to the group. I think Darren has done a brilliant job as well, you know. And but I mean, I think what he's done brilliantly is he's got them all together up there, Dalo. And, you know, you know a lot of them, and I'm sure the lads would as well. You know, we kind of maybe patronise them sometimes. You say, oh, they love hurling and all this. But you know what? They're good hurlers. Like, they're very good hurlers. They've all come together now. All the best hurlers are playing for Antrim at the moment, is what I'm trying to say. Whereas maybe you didn't always have that. Like, and everything that's going on there, like in the likes of in Belfast, and these places, that clubs like the Donovan Rosses and these kind of clubs, they put massive work in their academies, they're underage, and they're seeing the results of it now. Like, they're seeing young guys coming through. And they have a great group. And I'd say they're, as you said, Dalo, at the top there, to go down to Navan and beat Dublin lads. I mean, at the start of the year, I'd say Dublin would have been, they could have been 1-10 on, like, or 1-20 on to win the match. And now you just don't know what's going to happen that day. And the fact it's on in Navan, like, we talk about the Parnell Park factor or, you know, going down to Ennis and playing these matches. Like, Navan is going to be a tighter pitch. It's a football pitch, really. I don't get this, lads. I know how you feel about this. You know, people say, yeah, but it's the same dimensions as Croke Park and all this. And I was like, okay, which is Jesus. Like, I mean, you'd be in Croke Park trying to take 65 and it feels like it's 90 yards away, whereas you'd be in one of them pitches taking 65 and feel like a troll over there. So I think the Navan thing would be a massive thing. The confidence they have in the group, they're a very, very close group as well. You've seen that, you know, with them after winning them back down the last year. They had a great couple of days after it, and they're very, very close. And Leeson has probably helped to bring that, maybe that bit of preparation where he would have had, and no doubt, like, Liam Sheedy has been a massive help to Darren as well, his club to try and get him on to the next level. So I think they're buzzing. I think the next few weeks of Movement Antrim training will be absolutely hopping. And these lads, as you said before, TJ, the great one you made, the like the death dog, a hard one to call. I mean, it's great. I mean, Movement Antrim for me is a tough one. And I think it's very exciting times of Movement Antrim there for the next few weeks.
And I was going to say, lads, if you were taking a team that got the most out of the league, I suppose we'd nearly say either Antrim or Galway, maybe the way they finished up. No, Kilkenny obviously had the job done even before the weekend. So, but I was nearly going to say the team that got the least out of the league, you'd have to say, I suppose, Leash. Westmeath, I suppose, was a hard learning curve. But you say Leash maybe never got going really at all. But weren't a mile off then, I suppose, against Antrim. So maybe Cheddar will take a bit out of that. But I would have said Wexford. But then I watched them live and watched the Clare game as a recording. I'd obviously Clare FM on while I was watching that live. But Wexford curled well on Saturday, threw off the shackles a bit, got some great scores. Dublin, I'd maybe now reduce Dublin to the Wexford role, where the last two games after the break, very disappointing chances to win both. I mean, they got the penalty to bring it back to a goal, and Donal Burke stuck it. And they had the slight wind and down a man as well, Wexford. It was actually Wexford that kicked on. From a Dublin point of view, just again, decision making was huge. And for me, then they were playing Liam Rush, lads, the centre back. And I thought that was settled. Donal O'Donnell, superb full. Rush really beginning to show signs of old. And like at half time, they just lobbed him up full forward. Now they hadn't much of a threat, but they just lobbed him up beside Ronan Hayes. And for me, that's it. You're taking your centre back out in your last match before Antrim. It was a weird one. Now, maybe Matty has a plan, and he'll be all judged on what happens in 2 weeks' time, in 3 weeks' time. That's ultimately the way we've always known it between league and championship. But you're funny one. I just thought Wexford, for the first time this year, they showed a great flash in Innes, obviously, when they came from behind to win the game. But Clare were down a man, and Clare really looked gassed on the day. But they just showed that bit more, I thought. Fellas around the middle, D. O'Keefe, would look back to where he was. It was nearly Sean Murphy's first display, I think, of the year. Last day in Nolan, chin was sharper. Rory O'Connor has been their best player all through. Jack O'Connor showed a bit more. Liam Ryan at fullback, lads, really know. That was the big positive. I'm Davy Fitz. I'm saying Liam Ryan, Janie Mack. He just stood out like a sore thumb that he, this guy, I'm near championship now and I'll be laying down markers here. So, few positives. A lot of people talking them their demise. That we were talking about it here, that we'd seen nothing. Yeah. But I just thought a bit more and worried then. It's gas. You're right, Shane. Sorry for rabbiting on, but we would have said number 1-8 Dublin to beat Antrim. And now it's been narrowing in our heads all the time. Is that a help, TJ, to Dublin that they know what's coming? There's no jack in the box here.
Oh, absolutely. It's the gloves are very firmly off. Pressure's on Matty Kenny for sure. I think Darren, as I said, Dale have seen the season more or less as being much of a success now, whereas Matty will definitely need to win this championship game. Like, where he is in his management role with Dublin, I think the championship is huge for him. I'd probably go as far as to say the same for Wexford and Davy. They're similar. Wexford will beat Leash, I think, in the first round. I do think Davy will be happier with the back end of the league. I think they have a chance coming to side of the draw that they have. I think they will be happier. I think you're on the money there. But from a Leinster Championship point of view, I think those games are massive for the bigger picture for those counties. Speaking of maybe potentially new managers into 2022, but like they'll need a championship run, whether it's Dublin, Wexford, Antrim. I don't know. I give Wexford a small chance. I didn't maybe towards the middle of the league. They actually finished second in the league, Kilkenny. I'd ask a question, how much lower was 1B compared to 1A? I think there was definitely a level down. So for me, the form, little question mark over it.
Yeah, and then I suppose, look, would that all play out now in front of our faces the next few weeks? But the Cats, I suppose, did most of the hurling back against Clare. Like, honestly, they got some spectacle. But Clare, which is one you maybe wouldn't associate, like the goal scoring again. I see young McGrath there with Twitter up that would we turn up there in the Munster Championship at all if we hadn't Tony Kelly. But I think we'd be delighted with the likes of Aidan McCarthy. We'd be delighted with Dermot Ryan. We'd be delighted with Aaron Shanahan, full forward, even though not got the goal, obviously, to begin. The scores haven't flowed for him, but he has been a massive outball for Clare this entire league and created a platform, I would say. So good finish up for Clare. Kilkenny, where's it at, Mac?
I'd say Kilkenny would be quite happy coming away from the league. They've won, we'll say, 4 out of 5 matches. I thought for long stages against Clare on Saturday, Anthony, that they probably looked like they were going to win the game. But I thought Clare got goals at vital times during the course of the game. Like 2-9 to 14 at half time. You'd always be thinking that the team has got the 14 points of hurling a little bit better. Have to say that Kelly got a spectacular goal from play. And then to finish up with getting the penalty and putting it kind of in the same corner as well. He's a guy that's hurling at the top of his skin at the moment. I think you're right that Shanahan offers something that maybe a Cork could look at putting a hand of the in beside Hoggy, to be honest with it, because when that out ball breaks down in the half back line and there's nobody there, just poke it up into the air, right? Shanahan is a brave boy, and he, like last year, he caused Waterford untold confusion and trouble as well in the championship round in Parky Cueve in a game that was probably gone away from Clare for long stages, and he dragged Clare back into the game. So I think, Anthony, that Kilkenny, look, they are not the Kilkenny that we knew from a decade ago, right? But they are formidable players. They have a physique and they have an attitude. And I've mentioned this about Adrian Mullen and Owen Cody. They were two young hurlers of the year in the last number of years. They both hurled well again, 3 points each from play yesterday. Now, young Mullen went off with a hamstring. And that has been a feature of a lot of the league matches, lads, is that the amount of hamstring strains that guys are getting. Is it the pace of the game? Is it the hard ground? Is it the training they're doing midweek and they're tired and stuff like that? So, but it has been a feature of the amount of hamstring injuries that players have had. I think overall, Cody will be happy going into the championship. He will be eyeing, you know, probably the Leinster semi-final, to be honest, but I'm trying to get to the final again this year. And maybe the workload that TJ Reid has had for the last number of years maybe starting to go away from him with the likes of Owen Cody, Billy Ryan, Adrian Mullen. I think Brian Cody would be quite happy knowing exactly what he has. There are no stars, Anthony. but he's getting the maximum out of him. It's a bit like a fella described to me years ago about, you know, when you have an orange and you're squeezing it and you think that you've got the last drop out of it, Cody seems to get an extra squeeze out of all these players and you write them off at your peril.
He has a Nutri-Bullet for that job, Mark. He gets the Nutri-Bullet.
What's that?
He has a special Nutri-Bullet. He just puts it in and he gets more and more on time, boys. Well, Dalo, just on the Ballyhale, boys, yesterday, like, aren't there some club lads? I was down there once. Like, out of 125 that Kilkenny scored, I think the Ballyhale lads, right, TJ Reid, Owen Cody, Adrian Mullen, Richie Reid scored 19 points, 19 or 20 points. I mean, there are some yokes, like, you know, and you're not going to win in clubs year in, year out. So, Jay's lads, when four of your club lads are scoring 80% of your county score, you have a fair chance to go to club championship any year, like, don't you?
And, you know, usually with a small kind of a rural club like that, like, you come with maybe a team of stars in one way. You're thinking Henry, Chair, Mick Finley, you know, Colin. And here we are talking about a Kilkenny team without any of those names. And yet they're not even mentioning Joey Holden. All these, like, what a conveyor belt, you know. Incredible. And you're right, I think, Mark, we wouldn't be writing them off. Shane, one of the things, would you have liked, I know the weather was very warm, what would you have liked in a game at that temperature? We said the Waterford lads went through yesterday, 2 weeks out from the Clare game, just to get yourself ready. I know the 1 week thing was always I used to have war with Lochnane lads, and in that you wouldn't have war with Lochnane because you weren't allowed to have war with him. But we used to have a few backing matches about some of the sessions after the drawn matches. You know, you draw a match, and then he'd hand you over to Mike Mack maybe in the Monday night if you played stink and run. And like, it's famously how De Sparrow retired. Sparrow never got a run against Tip in 99. You know, it's a bit miffed, I'd say. He was out of the equation and he's playing the B team the whole time in the training matches. And it was played on the June bank holiday weekend. And Conor Clancy was controversially fouled. Tidy one. And Davey up from goal and buried it, sort of like in roof of the net and blowing Cork. And we had booked to stay in Cork, myself, Sparrow, Ollie and Fergie Toohey with the girls, and we had 3-4 pints max. Like, I think I had 4, Baker at 3. Sparrow decided to have an extra 1 or 2 because he wasn't getting a look in. But bank holiday Monday, the following day, we divided all the 3 hours of traffic trying to get through Mallow, Charleville, etc. Back up, there was a meeting and a recovery session. Recovery, like, he savaged us anyway, and there was a mention of a few pints, and I said, hang on a minute here now. I was in bed early and we did things right. And anyway, the running started anyway, and the first 15, I suppose, were spared a good bit of the running, but then the subs had to. So I think the subs were on about the second punishment lap, and they hadn't done much wrong now, let's face it. The Sparrow just disappeared down the tunnel in Cusick Park. Boom. One of the greatest forwards we ever had. That was the last time he was seen in a Clare tracksuit, a Clare jersey. And he became manager, in fairness, and did a chosen job bringing it. But in the gas, he just felt, shag this. Caper, I'm out of here. You know, but I often thought, like, I often said to George, Jesus Christ, like, we're after coming through 76 minutes of savagery, and you're handing us over to Mike Mack now. But then, if you check Lochnane's record in replays, so it is incredible. You know, it's a hard one to call. Mind is everything, Shane. No?
Yeah. I think like the lads were saying, they're dead right there earlier on. You're going to have, like, whatever we had out of the league, we had. And, like, even listen to John Tidy's interview. I love listening to John Tidy's interviews because I just think he just speaks so well anyway. And, like, he's as honest as he can be, I suppose. And he's one of the top managers in the game at the moment. But he just said, like, that they've had a busy 7 weeks, he said. And we've done a lot of hard work. And I think that, for me, answers a lot of it. Like, I mean, did Limerick really want to win the league this year? All the boys could be better in their back pockets. That's kind of a disappointing thing from a selfish point of view. From the Tip thing is, like, nobody in Tip has a league medal bar Shamey. Paddy has none, Noel has none of the class of 92, as you call them, Brendan. So, like, you know, and whether they come back next year or not, they probably will, maybe, but it's getting harder and harder to win an all league medal, I suppose, as the years goes on. So that would have completed the set. But Kylie, I think, you know, when he said that, for me, it's like, no, Limerick, it's not the league. Like, I mean, we'd all name who won the championship there the last 20 years, that's handy, you know, in Ireland. You'd struggle to name the league winner for the last 20 years. So, like, what I think you're going to get now is, I think you had a really, really hard block of training, Dalo, and like probably maybe another 2-3 sessions max, and then you're talking about going through walkthroughs, how are we going to set up, and I think you're going to have all your best guys on the pitch, but all your best guys on the pitch fresh. And I think that's the difference between league and championship for me, lads, is, you might have had, if you take Limerick, for example, now, who for me are still number one, you probably had maybe 10 or 11 of them on the pitch, but not fresh. Whereas now, come championship, you will have all the top teams will have probably their top players on the field, but really fresh and really know this is how we're playing this year. Because they'll have, you know, they'll have had 2 weeks, whereas before, lads, I suppose, they came back to the clubs and they played a round or two at the club championship. That's the way it would be in Tip or Limerick anyway, like they're in early April for years. Like. But now the lads have them, you know, the Knorks, the Mikey Beavins, the Eamon O'Shea's, you know, the Cork lads, they'll all have them now for a few weeks, and they'll know exactly what way they're going to set up and what way they're going to play, and they'll all be busting for road as well. And I think, you know, we're just going to see, we'll just see different animals, lads, won't we, like, you know, come a few weeks' time.
Yeah, and one other thing that I just made a point there this morning, just interested to get your take on it. Just from watching the game, it was an interesting one. You had Carl Mannion marking Dara Fitzgibbon, both Mets winners, obviously. Just wearing your coach's hat, lads, would you take that gamble? Like, I would have said Mannion did more damage. Now, Dara Fitz got 4 points in play, like, some return, like, and you know, incredible. And I, one of the moments was the crossfield ball to Hoggy for the fetch and point as well from Dara Fitz. But can, if you're the manager, do you take that gamble that your man will do more than their man, who really is not a marker, and will, or do you say, no, I'll bank on my men on the other flank, I'll get a marker on Fitzgibbon, or I'll get a marker on Mannion? Give me your coach's hat there, Mark. Would you be inclined to say, go on, and we'll take that? Like, I go back again, sorry for going back, but I learned fine in 97. Yeah. Ollie Baker was man of the match, and if Tip had won by a point, Tommy Dunn would have been man of the match. Do you know what? And like, that's one of those games where they both did their own thing and Clare win, and your man didn't hit a load of balls, so he gets man of the match. It's a hard one to call, isn't it, with some players?
It's a funny one, Anthony, because both of them actually are probably they're probably one of your six forwards, and they've ended up both playing midfield. Now, why is the reason for that? I think both of them like a bit of space, and both of them are very brave hurlers now, right? But they like to be able to gallop, both of them. And there's a lot of physical confrontation up front, and I don't think either of the two of them like being mapped that closely and being pulled and dragged. So I think managements have given them the opportunity to be able to play and show their array of skills. And both of them have this dashing pace that can bring you into, you know, split defences open and stuff like that. But as the manager, I suppose, I've always taken the view that if one player can really, really hurt you, you have to put the shackles on him. You don't put a hurler on him. But the problem when you look at the Galway setup is, who do you put the shackles on? Because at the moment with Nyland and Brian and Concannon after turning up, they are now match winners. You didn't have Joe Canning play yesterday. If he ends up in the six forwards, he's a match winner. Now, I said it before, I don't think Joe is the player that he was. And, you know, if you were the manager 7 or 8 years ago, you would be building your team around stopping Joe Canning. Now you have to stop 3 or 4 of their players as well as Joe Canning. And you have Cathal Mannion in the middle of the field. So, like, I think at the moment, you just, from a Cork perspective, you can mark them all. Like, you have to do the best you can with what you have. But if a team had just one person that you were worried about, I would definitely be putting a man marker on him, and I'd be leaving my fella go find somebody else to mark. But with 3 or 4, then you kind of have to go head-to-head. And you have to say to that player then, we know you're brilliantly offensively, but if your man ends up scoring a goal in 2 or 3 or 4 points, like, we'll be asking the question afterwards, what were you doing in that period of time?
I suppose it is. It'll be all in the. We mentioned earlier about the defensive setups and that middle third, as Jan said, TJ. That obviously, rather than, as you said, trying to mark a Desi Hutchinson 1-on-1, it'll be the closing down of that space ultimately. You're thinking Limerick choking fellas in there.
Yeah, I can definitely see that coming down the track. All right. Like I said, Dello, the scoring averages for all teams are very, very high in the league, right? I think the intensity was missing there. I forecast at the start here, and you disagreed with me slightly, saying that I thought the league was going to be phony. I think it was. And I've also forecast that we're going to get the best championship that we've had in a long time. I think some of the games that we have coming up, starting with something like Waterford and Clare, like, there's just so much to play for in those games. I think the middle third is going to be crucial. I think it's going to be the winning and losing the most games. And I think, to answer your question, if you were coaching, right, I think if you had to go with six forwards, I think you'd be happy enough to free up Kyle Mannion so he could be a supplier. And you wouldn't be as worried about that. But if you didn't have the firepower, you'd probably say, we really need to close him down. So I think it depends on what you have in your locker effectively, right?
Yeah.
But I do think that all managers from an attacking and scoring point of view would be reasonably pleased here. I think they'll feel that they have the guns and that they have the bullets. I think it's that middle third. And I would say the S&C guys will be very busy over the next 2 weeks getting fellas right. There'll be a bit of individual work done. I think the nutritionists will be kind of working overtime, making sure the bodies. I definitely think that the head gurus will be definitely working overtime over the next 2 or 3 weeks as well, trying to get people in the right frame of mind. So, again, from a manager's point of view, it's not so much about going out and working hard and running laps in the field here, Dello. It's about that management, that freshness, and having your team right and having your tactics right as well, because it's a huge part of the game now, the way the opposition sets up, the pokeouts, the restarts. My forecast is the best championship we've had in a long time is coming.
Okay, I'd love to share your enthusiasm there, but I just think we'll never have the best championship until we have the crowds back. I know we might, because everyone has learned from last year and all that experience playing the big stadium without the crowds. I know we will have as the months go on, we will have more people in that. I suppose looking ahead, lads, the Clare Waterford game, just to get it, we won't be doing a preview show, so we will, well, obviously then we'll be rolling every week then, so we will preview the massive semi-finals for the following week, the winners of that match versus Tip, the Cork Limerick, then Leinster going to 2 mouth water in semi-finals. Clare Waterford, lads, I suppose, look, I'm not trying to be the dodge bullet here, like, but you'd have to be probably saying on all known form from last year and what we saw yesterday that Waterford would be clear favourites to win that, and they beat Clare handy enough, like, in the quarterfinal last year. Okay, Brian. Yeah, Brian, I have to play it out. Look. No, hold on. Liam, yeah, that's not a problem. That's after. No. But you look, I'm only being realistic. Like, Clare have definitely settled and improved. Like, there's no doubt about that.
Well, Waterford are actually favourites. They're 4-7 favourites.
4-7, surely.
Yeah. Will you be playing at 4-7? Would you?
You'll be
questioning it.
I just hope for good cold Murtys.
I get the ball rolling for you here, Della, right? For me, we spoke about two teams already. Clare and Kilkenny, for me, are as close to Joe Dolan as you're going to get in the championship, right? I think what I mean by Joe Dolan is they're a one-man show. No, it's a very good show. It's a very good show. But I think that Tony Kelly is so critical to the Clare setup.
I thought you were going to say send them home sweating.
No, yeah. I think that their reliance on him is still too strong. And for me, I just have been impressed with Waterford. I know historically the beaten Ireland finalists can struggle, but there's something about them. There's something about the pace. I think if Ty De Burka was playing, I'd be seriously saying that Waterford are serious, serious contenders for All-Ireland. There's something about them. They're playing with an energy and a pace. So for me, I am going to go for Waterford to win the first round of the championship.
Yeah, look, I don't get that shite, TJ, about the one-man team. I don't, like, Cork had Christy Ringmark. Like, if you have him, then he's one of the best players in the modern era, and he is.
Yeah.
What the fuck about it? Like, if this fella's TJ Reid, or we don't... I don't get that. I honestly don't get that. Sometimes you come along with a marquee player, an incredible talent, and he does his stuff in the prime of his life. And for me, it's just... There's no surprise in that. I think the likes of Dermot Ryan, the likes of Ed McCarthy have really stepped up. Only, 2-3 years out of minor and really, really, you know, 22 years of age, really, really become leaders that other counties are lacking those guys. I'm not trying to say Clare beat Waterford, but I just think you have a Kelly. Why? He's our player. Hoggy's been doing it for years, McCock. Like,
I'm not disputing that, Dillo, but I'm going to flip the question on you. If we take Tony Kelly out of the team,
yeah, I think we're a lot better set this year than last year, if that scenario. Anyone can get injured. Yeah. We saw that against Waterford last year, and we were a bit lost. I think we're a lot better set up this year with Cullum Galvin back, with O'Donnell the way he's hurling, with David Reedy the way he came back into form after a niggly injury. John Conlon, centre-back, that's a huge one. If that goes well, the two young lads playing well, maybe, you know, Conor Cleary full-back, a couple of questions, but Roy Hayes playing well, goalie settled. I think we're an awful lot better set if anything happens, TK, No, I don't want anything to happen to TK, TJ.
Dale, what's the story of David Fitzgerald? David Fitzgerald seemed to be one of your mainstays last year. He was centre forward for an awful lot of it. The year before, he was playing the half back then, and he was really, really good. Did I just see him popping up yesterday? Was he his first
election? Yeah, like Fitz, I think he's just been struggling for a bit of consistency this year, Mark. I would have said at the start of the year he'd be a definite. When he's done when he has done stuff well, it's been incredible bursts. 2-3 brilliant points. Just struggling for that bit of consistency. Like, do you know the way? Come off the bench, get 2 great scores, definitely start the following day, and then you're a bit flat the following day and wind up getting taken off maybe, and then you're not start again. And it's been a bit of a cycle. He just struggled for his best form, definitely in the 20, like, you know. And as we said, starters, finishers now, you know, Shane alluded to that, and that is the way now. And then Davy Fitz is mature enough now that he'll be bang on, boy. He's a good lad.
Yeah,
he's a good lad. Powerful man.
Yeah, I think just to go back to your original question about Clara Waterford, I think Waterford will be favourites going into the game, and I think rightly so. They were in the Munster final last year, the All Ireland final last year. They are building, I think, on top of last year as well. I think the Cahill and Bevins, I think they were disappointed with the performance of the Waterford team in the All-Ireland final last year. Mm. We all expected more out of them. I think they were a bit flat. Limerick were excellent, probably, but I still thought there was more in Waterford. I think Shane Bennett is a huge help to them. I think anybody locally down here would know that Shane should have been in the team last year, but he's a kind of a funny guy, like, you know, you've got to get him on the right day, like, you know. But I think he himself missed it more than anybody else and probably has said to himself, listen, I need a man up here and get out there on the field to play with my brothers and with my teammates in Waterford, like, you know. And I think that is a big part. And he's been a huge help to them. You know, there is no talk about Tadhg Na Bhfaigheann missing, like, you know. And, you know, that can have a crippling effect on a team to say, oh, geez, one of our best guys is gone. But they have got on with their business, and they have, you know, Irla Daly has been an excellent centre-back replacement. And if Gleeson ends up there, we don't know where Gleeson, will he be midfield? Will he be wing-back? As Derek McGrath probably says wing-back is probably his best position. So I think it's a lot to do with it is pace and attitude. You'll get a massive, massive attitude from Waterford. Claire, they're coming at the right time, Anthony. And the question is whether they're good enough or not. And even with Kelly's loss last year, Waterford did dominate the game for large parts. But Clare never actually left them get away. They actually hung in there. And they got a couple of goals and brought them back into the game. I think Waterford will win the game, Anthony. But once Kelly will be injury-free, it'll be a lot closer. And I'd say it will go down to less than one score. There'll be only about 3 points in this game, whichever way it'll swing. And I think both managers will want to win the first round. You know, the way some players will tell you, some mentors will say, oh, we'd prefer to come through the back door, we'll get a couple of extra weeks and all that kind of stuff. I think both teams will want to win the first round, because I actually think whoever wins that game, if they come through injury-free, will actually fancy their chances against Tipperary in the semi-final. I think the game will stand to them, and it will be an extra workload, because you know whoever wins that first game will probably get to a Munster final. In my view, I think they will beat Tip in the semi final, but there's nothing like momentum. Yeah, I'm forecasting whoever wins the first round will get to the semi final.
We know how good you are at the forecasting. The fantasy hurling, you struggle, but you are good on the. Yeah, you were good last year as well. I tell you that now. You stuck with Kilkenny for Leinster, and that was a big call. Shane, just to touch on Liam Cahill's job, like, I mean, the Shane Bennett thing. Shane didn't show the interest early last year. We see this off loads now. We do.
Yeah.
But Liam didn't go back for him then for the winter All Ireland, and said, "No, the fellas that committed to me early on the year." Now he is a Shane Bennett buzzing. He's doing a tremendous job there, isn't he? I think he has him where he wants him.
He's doing a great job, Dalo. He probably all met Liam Cahill maybe one thing or another, lads, you know. And he's a very proud man, you know, and he has his ways of doing things. And I tell you, to give him credit, it's worked more often than it hasn't, put it like that. Not everybody in Tip would have been a fan of it, especially with the minors, you know. He made no bones about it. He didn't want lads doing both. it wasn't for everyone, but you know what? He had success. He went down at under 21 level. He had success under 20 level. And like, has he had success in Waterford? Yeah, not in form of trophies, but geez, lads, he's had massive success. The whole county is behind him again, back to the glory days as he talked about. But I think how can you tell that he's done really well? If we were all sitting down maybe a year ago and we said, lads, next year Waterford won't have Cormac Mahoney and they won't have Tyke Burke, and Stephen O'Keefe won't be there either, Darren Fives won't be there either. And do you know how will they get on? You'd say, yes, sure, they have no hope. And now we're here talking about him as, you know, being genuine contenders because he has built a culture there and he's built a panel. And you're dead right there. Like he doesn't go after lads. You either want to be involved or you don't. And he's not going to beg anyone. He never did with any of the teams he was involved with Tip, and it worked out well. And you either buy into the team, or if you don't buy into the team, Lee Cahill has no bones about telling you where to go. And he'll say, that there's the door now. And either you change your mind and buy into this culture or don't be part of it. And I don't really care who you are or what you can do. So I think they've all bought into it. And I think that was massive for him. Like if 8 or 9 of the real top guys had said, yes, I don't like what's going on here, you know what I mean? It's not for me. But they all bought into it because they know, look, lads, time is short. And, you know, the years are ticking by. This guy has had success. Beavens is a top coach. They're playing really well. And I just feel that they're a serious panel this year. And that's what they have. And in the matches that I've seen, Dale, I saw them seen against Limerick today. And I know Shane Fleming got sent off from everything, but I was so impressed with their work rate and their use of the ball. And, you know, when it got a little bit physical, you know, because they're so fit as well, they didn't mind it either. And they were able to mix it as well. And for me, a big thing was that day was Conor Gleeson was back in his best position. I was listening to Derek talking there last week, which I think Conor Gleeson is phenomenal at the back. And you talk about doing that man-marking job, lads. I think he's one of the best in the business of doing it. And he doesn't mind sacrificing himself for the team, which is often hard to do. So
He could be redeployed as a midfielder in this one, though, to pick up TK.
He could be against Edel, yeah, to mark TK, as you said. But, well, I think he's really good at it. And I think we've all been on teams, lads, where we have a couple of lads who they won't get the 8, 9, 10s in the Irish Examiner, but they'll get some credit on the Tuesday night after they win the championship match in with the group. And that's what it's all about. To go back to your own guys, Dale, I think you're coming into a great place. I think the three townies are flying it. The Ennis boys, I think Aaron Fitzgerald, I hope his injury is not too serious. I think David Reid is really enjoying his hurling for the first time in a long time. Got to know him there a couple of years ago doing a bit of LIT in Fitzgibbon. And there's a lad when he's enjoying
good
his
lad.
He's a great lad and a great goal yesterday. And I think Shane O'Donnell is going to explode. I really do. Got to see Clare in the flesh against Dublin a couple of weeks ago from Parnell. And I think this fella, lads, he swapped jerseys. He had the wrong jersey on himself, Mark Rogers. He had muscles on his back. I didn't even know you could get muscles on your back. And Mark's had it. I tell you, he's in some shape. And I think he's massive to Clare. I think you're coming into it in a good place, Dale. And I think you're much better than all the teams that who may potentially lose on the Leinster side of things. So do I think you beat Waterford right now? I don't, but I think that Clare will have a say. I think they'll come through. You see in the quarter final stage handy enough. So that's where I feel they're at.
Okay, completely written off so by the experts on the podcast. That's okay. I think Clare will have to get goals, lads. That's it, and they'll have to. And one of the things, Shane, watching it yesterday, Jesus, Waterford were fairly going for goals, weren't they? Stephen Bennett had the free to put him 6 ahead, and you're saying take 6 ahead, win the match now, beat Tip, good place. Straight across the 21, looking for some fella for goal, intercepted, Tip go down, get a point. You'd say, this is Liam Cahill be going mad on the sideline. But obviously, the game plan was because the next ball that went up, it was in for a goal again, and a shot on Brian Hogan. And there's obviously an emphasis there on them getting goals. Who'll get the goals, I think, will decide this one. I think you're right, Mark, and that's what. I think if Shanahar could get a goal and create a goal, and then we got one from somewhere else, be it a penalty or, you know, and don't concede more than one, but you must get 3. Do you know that kind of way? I do think that will have to be the scenario. But there's a lot to like about the way Clare have kind of settled under Brian. I think, you know, a lot of turbulence, as we spoke about early in the year in our shows.
A lot of side shows going on in the background. He hasn't had it easy now,
No, and for a young, and he's not the youngest, but he's for a new manager at this level.
A new manager, he
has showed massive maturity. Do you know, in what he hasn't been deflected.
No, and like losing the first round to Antrim must have been a killer because he's a very proud man. He was one of the ferocious players when we were playing. I mean, he would be probably the number one fella in that era. And like that must have hurt him big time going up to Antrim and getting beaten. So, and then throw on top of the stuff that's happening in the background in Clare. It has been massive the way Clare have responded. TK is a large part of that, I would say. I would agree with TJ. And I know, yeah, but you're not a one man, but he just happens to be a particularly brilliant talent.
Yeah.
Brilliant player.
And like that, look, I mean, there was plenty of old trolls, and some of them were putting their name to it on Twitter and Facebook, like cutting the back off him, especially down on top of the Belfast when we were 7 or 8 points up on Antrim and didn't close out the deal, or on Wexford, apologies.
On Wexford.
Yeah, and like, you know, to show that response and that bit of maturity, I think, to settle. And their players, I think, are really buying into Brian and the leader he is. And I think positive signs, and hopefully the Clare County Board see the wisdom of Brian Lohan now as manager and would give him a couple of more years at the job and let him establish these young fellas that are coming through. TJ?
He's definitely progress. Dello, Davy Mack went off injured again. I would see him as a key player as well. Was that same injury again, or was it something different,
no,
you know?
I think the old injury has cleared up fully, and he started the match on fire. He threw over a pint, set up a pint, attacked the ball. I think it was a quad strain. And I think, to be fair, team, this is what I can garner now. It's hard to know. Like, I just sent Brian a text, well done, and he said, on we go. He didn't even say thanks. On we go. So the mind isn't good. But I didn't ask him about Davy then. You know, you don't want to be asking, like, even though a great pal of mine, you know what I mean? You're looking for news, especially when I'm involved in the media side of things. And I think what I can garner is was a quad strain, and he put up his hand straight away with 2 weeks in mind. If he is, I don't know if he's a starter now because of that, but I'd say if he'd gone on and played the way he was started, he would have started. But look, that's a blow. Hopefully he'll be right to be in the 20 and come in to one of those positions. So look, we just have to wait and see. The Leinster quarterfinals, lads. I suppose Wexford will beat Leash, lads, on all known everything. I think they beat them well in the league match. So I think we needn't go too depth into that. We will talk about the potential of it. Cheddar will be delighted with me. Sorry, Cheddar, I don't mean to be, but just on form, I think we see Wexford as a top county and Leash struggling a little bit to know where they're at with Eddie gone and Cheddar coming back, and where just hasn't settled for Leash yet, you know. So we're thinking them the back door. The other one, lads, who are we going to stick our neck out and say, dude, I'm going to say Dublin will deliver. I think there's a lot. They've settled an awful lot of positions. Just need a bit more decision making. Stop. They're giving away a stupid freeze. Jesus. The soul destroying, like, if you were watching that. And I'd have an old graw there, obviously. And would have a graw for the Antrim boys as well. So we all would. But and for Darren and the job he's doing. But I just think Dubs are kind of going to be going in there really kind of ready for what may come. And will come. I've no doubt it will come. And I don't see this as being a big margin win or anything. But
I think Matty Kenny learned so much from... Like, I was at the match. I was doing the radio 3 years ago at Parry Lodge in Port Leash. Yeah. When Leash turned them over, and then they played Tip in the quarter final, and I'd say Matty Kenny learned so much from that day as regards, you know, like, and like TJ said it as well. We both said it, like, nobody's taking Antrim for granted now. You know, not that anyone really was, but let's call it spade a spade. I suppose we would team wouldn't have had played Antrim the last few years. You know, they just said you aren't sure what they're going to get. They fully know what they're going to get now. It's on in Nevin, but I'd say Matty Kenny. Definitely, and he has a lot of that core group there from 2 years ago in Leash Vest and Sin. So that was a real low point for him, definitely, as a really successful manager coming into an inter-county team. And I'd say he learned a lot from that. And I'd say the experience from that day and going in playing a similar type game, but knowing how good Antrim really are, I think will really stand to them. But, you know, just that little bit of me, my aunt lives above in Belfast and everything, or just outside of a place called Portlanoan, and I've actually gone up there for a few days at the weekend to see them, and I just feel they might do it. I just feel that there's one massive day left in them this year, and the buzz and the confidence they're playing with, and it's on in Madden. And I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say I think the Antrim boys are actually going to do it.
Okay, one all.
No, it's. Look, for me, I would fancy the Dubs, Dela, to be honest with it. I think they have a physical nature to them. The biggest issue for me is that they don't score often enough and take their opportunities when they arise. The only with a forward like Donald Burke at the moment, if they do get freeze, he's unerring with him, so he'll keep the pot ticking over. I was surprised to see them changing Liam Rush up to full forward. I thought that seemed like a little bit of desperation, or maybe trying to go for the win to put them on the front foot. Like, there's nothing like going in to a championship match, having won your last league game, fellas are in good form on Tuesday night, come back training. That could backfire with them. I think they should put Rush back centre back, to be honest with it. Solidify your backs, have them steady, you know, and just keep the ball moving to the forwards. Let them boys get the scores for you. I think the cat is out of the bag for Antrim now. There's going to be no, you know, they won't be, Dublin shouldn't be cut offside. I think the Dublins will come through that one.
Okay, Tej.
I'm going to kick it to the listeners and make it 2-2, Dale, all right? I'm going to side with Shane here. In sport and in hurling, and certainly after coming after the league campaign, momentum is unreal. And you cannot really underestimate it from time to time. I'd say the buzz and training now for 2 weeks in Antrim will be off the charts. As Mark said there, there's a little bit of question marks about who's playing where. And, you know, Matty's already pushed Crummy up. And I don't know. To me, Dublin don't seem to have something really solid and settled. Huge chance for Antrim here. And look, like right now today, I think Dublin are 1-4, right? So myself and Shane here are going out on the limb. We're going with the outsiders. But I'll go with Antrim and the momentum to cause the first upset of the summer.
Okay, I'm going to put another little pin in the bubble there of Darren and the boys in the Falls Road and the Glens and everything. I'm going to say Dublin with 6 or 7 to spare. Oh,
whoa. That's a shame,
boy, right?
Whoa.
Well, you see, the reason why is because I'm full of confidence this morning because we've the final results in from the Super League. And the last time with Shane McGrath on the show,
he was top.
He was gone large, like, but you know what I mean? I think he just stayed out of the relegation zone. Now, obviously, the relegation on this thing is normally a done deal. And Horn, the Queen from Killa, rallied something savage with 191 there in the last week. But look, obviously, the Clarecastle Magpies lads are back. Lads, I don't even think I'll enter the championship one because, you know, like, Larry couldn't even come on the show this morning, lads, because he's taking a bed down there. Like, you know, TJ, you got in Sam Allardyce, TJ, and you rescued your season some little bit.
I'm a bit like the Antrim boys now. Momentum is a terror. 250 points this week. I kind of feel that I'm in a good place. Looking forward to the championship. The selectors, they're working overtime. I'm trying to figure out now, right, what Cahill and the boys, are they going to name Ozzy in the backs or in the forwards? Is Aidan McCarthy a back or a forward? So I think some of the challenges are back to the boys. I'm assuming they will do some changes after the league. And I'm looking for that little nugget, Dello, that you seem to have found successfully in the last couple of competitions. So, yeah, the spies are out.
Mark, is there any kind of plan? Can you get Pam Mull or anyone around to the house with their masks on and do a power?
Was there one this morning for the league as well, Dale, no?
There is. In fairness, our sponsors...
I go for three in a row now.
Yeah, come on, like.
Three in a row, like, yeah.
So a lot of look at the championship, lads, about is coming. I can't have myself and Larry battling it out again, lads. Come on. Like,
yeah.
Come on. Come on now, Bayo. Get Andy Moran. You got to get Andy Moran.
Andy Moran again. We'll have to put a bit more than 20 minutes into this one. I thought, Dale, on the championship. I'm like the cockfellas now. The championship is the only one that counts.
Well, you've kind of 12, 13 days now, Mark. Like, get it right. And
yeah.
Shane, I know, look, you'll be conscious now that a big start isn't everything, like, for the championship. So, you know.
70 minute game. Yeah.
Balnahinch burst into an early lead. Like,
that's it. I should have took my advice I gave to Landers. Most of the lads I picked, they were named net matches. They were probably watching on GAO.
Yeah, he did give you a bit of that jib there, Mark, the last time he was on, didn't he? He gave you a bit. He wasn't even in Turles, like, he was at home.
Yeah. bring on the championship, that's all I'll say. TJ, okay, you were with me a couple of weeks ago down the bottom, like.
I know.
We said we're both championship players, like.
Yeah,
you know, Dale, but that's our list.
I was going to say to the listeners, if any of these listeners have a tip for Landers, is there any way they can get that information to him before championship?
Well, it's all just have to
Pamol.
Pamol, will you be lads? Will you send all messages to Pamol Cahy? Great job, Pamol, commentating there yesterday. I was listening to her for a bit, so Pam coming up the ranks there in RTE big time. Craig, congratulations, lads. A clear double, lads. I mean, you're writing off Clare for 2 weeks' time, but look, Brian Coote. My neighbour up there in Kimeley, what a great club. And he'll have been obviously having likes of Conor Cleary in his team there. Well done, Brino's Army. Massive score, Brian. 1,264 points. Michael Cafferkey from Mayo. Great score. Wasn't much in it, lads. 5 points. Brilliant. So shout out there as well. Conor Gallagher in third from Ardra. So they know they're hurling those places, lads, better than we do anyway. But Butler's handcrafted hurlies as the prizes will be on the way. We'll get it sorted, myself and Larry, when he gets over the disappointment of being pipped at the line. There was a lot of Saturdays I was overtaking him, and he was coming back at me on the Sunday. But this time, despite dropping Kyle Hayes for Dermot Burns, and Kyle Hayes gets 1-1, TJ, like, they are the little calls, Mark. They are the little calls you've got to get right, Mark. You've got to up your game. But lads, Moran Hurley, just give him a shout out as well. Adrian Moran there in Westmead has come in to say he has prizes for me, and also has the famous wooden spoon. So now that there's 20 customers waiting to get into Morty Brown's below, lads, I better go down, get the porter.
Hold on.
What about the punters gasping for a pint after a heavy weekend? No. Like,
Estos Marvel Wednesday night has a chance.
Jesus, in the hot stress is coming in. Estos
Marvel.
Okay, has a chance. What are you saying there? Each way, like?
Straight on the nose.
Esther.
Don't give her prize, will you?
That actually
wasn't what I was going to say to you at all. You probably know it during the week. We lost the great Jay Gale in Cork during the week. Tommy Lynch, the groundsman in Parky Cueve and Parky Ring for as long as decades is what I would say to you. He's an absolute institution down there. And just to you know, I saw the condolences coming in from inter-county managers, inter-county referees, clubs, players, you know, everybody was universal on their thoughts about Tommy Lynch. Absolute gentleman, lovely fella to deal with, always had a smile on his face. Just to give a shout out to his son Tony and his daughter Marion, to thank you very much for the loan we got of Tommy. And his contribution to Cork GA for over 50 years. There wasn't, I'd say, a player went by looking for a pair of socks or a pair of shorts or a jersey to be signed or a slipper to be signed. And Tommy Dahmer said, "Geez, I don't know of any spare ones." And all of a sudden, at the end of training, you might have an old extra jersey in your bag or a slipper or something like that. But that came from Tommy. And I just wanted to say that he was a magnificent guy, universally liked within Cork and outside the county as well. And just our condolences on the pod to Tommy and his family.
Yeah, just to concur, Mark, I brought Clare there as manager. I went there as Clare captain. I brought the Dubs there. And I, you know, we used to call him. We'd be asking him, like, could we get in? Because we used to train a bit in Cork if we were allowed, like, you know. And in fairness to the powers that be, I brought the Dubs down there. We went down to Castlemartre for a training camp, and Jimmy was the manager at the time. And little did we know we'd wind up in the All-Ireland semi-final meeting each other. And I asked Jimmy, was there any chance of a session in the park on the Sunday? We had trained out in whose pitch out there near Castlemartre? No. In the road, Niall McCarthy's, Dennis Walsh's,
neighbours.
Carrick Tool's pitch. What a swathe of beautiful green grass. But anyway, Jimmy had arranged for us to get a session on the Sunday in Parky Cueve, and then Bitties and back to Dublin with the lads and me back to Clare. And he was always, I'd be thanking him, and I know you're looking at him, you're thanking him as well. Like, and he was saying, "We're all GA." Like, that was his one. "We're all GA." You know? And they used to say, "Tommy, we're all GA, Lynch." And great memories of him giving me the nod, letting us in, like, you know, quite a great guy. Another little piece. I mean, we would have lost Martin Flanagan to Clare, groundsman, caretaker, Cusick Park as well. So, yeah, like, in the Vieras and lots of ways. So, concur with you, Mark. Very, very well put. RIP, Tommy. Thanks a million, lads. Brilliant stuff, TJ.
Before you go, Dylan, give us an old
is this a fundraiser for some crowd?
No. This is back to you. I was going to say, give us a snapshot of the week with the punters back and Morty Browns and pulling pints of creamy pints of Guinness and cans of cider. And we got the winner for the weekend and everything all right. One or two of the listeners were asking me, can they rock on there? Does it book a table or can they come in?
You couldn't book a table, TJ, because we'd be turning away great people. But there's been tables dragged from everywhere. And I'm expecting a van to pull up one of the days next weekend and take out their own table and stools. And was it loads of space? Like, we have loads of space. Yeah, brilliant response, TJ. And thank all the locals, seeing the people that came out, Kilrush people, Curraclare, Kilmahel, Shannon Gales, here we are, Coolmean, Kildice Hall, with loads of visitors from the Ennis side and people from Shannon everywhere, East Clare people. God almighty, it was just a crazy week, a very, very busy week. Might quieten down this evening, TJ. Might sample a drop of that creamy porter that I'm looking at, serving up cold, creamy. Oh, I'd say unreal. So never know later on this evening.
Quality control, just, isn't it?
Yeah, the great Steve Sheedy has already sent on a text about maybe landing back, as he'd say, the 8 or 9 miles, like, you know.
It's very important for the quality control. And I'm sure people seeking your advice on championship and over the counter and telling you where we're going wrong and all that.
Can't wait to get you all down there for the pod. We're due an open air one now. It turned out lovely. My brother Michal, Michal Murphy, would have overseen everything. He was the main man. I wouldn't have a clue, sir. And you see the finished product, it's beautiful, Michal. You know, so I know it's been great. And, you know, sure, long may it continue. Outdoor table service, bit weird. But I tell you, you'll be learning fast, like, you know, and it's easy enough sleep by the time you get up from it. I put it to that way. No, great, mighty, and great to be back. I think I'm often reminded this week of the scene in The Snapper where Sharon Corley had the baby, Georgie Burgess's son or daughter. And you remember when the dad went across after she had it, 7 pounds, 12 ounces, and he went over and he ordered a pint across the road from the rotunda. And he got the pint up and he was touching it and feeling it and looking at it and wiping down the little bit of dew on the outside of the glass. And then he let fly and walloped it. I had a good friend of mine over from Clarecastle who literally had no pint. He was having the missus called in, come from Kiki, and he had no pint since the first lockdown. And I'll have a pint of that best Guinness, Dalo. He said, I've been hearing a bit about it during the week. And I said, here you go, John. John Normile, great old pal. Up, and he looked at it and he sized it up and he touched it. And he went, I said, you're like, you're men of the Curlies from The Snapper. He goes, all right, John. Oh, he said, you know, so there you go, lads. Life's simple pleasures are on the way back.
Yeah.
Good. Great stuff, boys.
Well done, Dale.
Supporting all 32 counties through the Alliance Leagues.
A grain of rice is going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lad.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on,
Mayo, you've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
We're missing one of the show. Then we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.